This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
The Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Wapagan Ampake Pagan alongside Ian McNally. The Hate U Give, a movie based on a very, very good novel by Angie Thomas, is now in cinemas. It is directed by George Tillman Jr. It is written by Audrey Wells. The movie centers around an African-American teenage girl who witnesses a cop shooting and has to, well, kind of deal with the aftermath of being the sole witness of this cop shooting. But the movie is so much more than that. I mean,
even the opening. The opening of this movie, I think it was The Cut had this video series in 2016 of African-American parents explaining to their kids what to do if a cop stops you.
It's the talk.
It's the talk. And right? It opens with the talk, and it's just incredibly powerful watching it.
So the talk, which we're referring to right here, is not about the birds and the bees, right?
No.
It's about how to deal with authority in America.
Yeah.
In particular, the police, especially if you're black.
Yeah.
In the book, the talk happens a little later on.
Mm-hmm.
So I am so glad that the screenwriters decided to open the film with the talk, because it is so powerful. And also what it does really, really well is it sets up within 5 minutes this family dynamic.
Mm.
And this is the family that you're going to follow through this entire film. And let me tell you, it is such a long time since I've seen a movie that I consider to be pitch perfect.
Mm.
It captures, I mean, I've read the book and I've interviewed Angie Thomas about a year ago about her book, and it captures Starr's voice perfectly.
Yeah.
It is such a great adaptation.
There were slight moments of, like, I was kind of thinking of Ready Player One because her obsession with the 90s. Like,
oh.
She likes the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and
so
she's got
book,
a lot of 90s Air Nikes.
In the
Air
book,
Jordans.
Fresh Prince is heavily featured.
Ah.
That was my point of entry into the book, because obviously, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement doesn't really necessarily resonate very much in Malaysia.
Mm.
I mean, it's a very different thing. It's a very American thing, and it comes with all of that baggage of slavery and the fight for human rights and equal rights. And so there is so much history there that it may not necessarily resonate with you. But what Angie Thomas does in the book, and I think this is how she adds that level of universality, by bringing in those pop culture elements, the Harry Potter stuff, the Fresh Prince stuff, the Air Jordans, because those are global products.
And the family stuff. I think, I can't remember who the writer says, like, the more specificity you write with, the more general it is. I would be very happy watching 6 seasons on Netflix of this family just going about their business.
Absolutely.
The father, like, they live in a relatively poor area, but the star and her brothers go to a white school because, what to say, high school is where you got to get stabbed, get drugs, and get pregnant. So they go to another school.
And their mom didn't want that for them,
yeah.
Even though their dad didn't want to move out of their neighborhood because it was problematic and troublesome.
Mm.
But their dad feels, you know, where you live is who you are.
And you have to do your part.
Exactly. Amandla Stenberg is tremendous.
Yep.
We saw her last in The Darkest Minds, I think.
Which wasn't great.
Standard YA fare.
Yeah.
But when she's given good material, oh my God, she absolutely shines. The whole movie is carried on her back.
Yeah, and it goes, like, it's not in any way stereotypical. Like,
No.
How many law shows have you seen where going to see the grand jury or whatever, it's just what happens after a crime happens. In this, it's a question of whether she should even come forward.
Also, how many shows have you seen where the ex-con dad behaves in a certain way?
Yeah.
In that really cliched, stereotypical...
Anthony Mackie gets to do that.
Anthony Mackie does get to do that in this film, though, and he chews the scenery. He's clearly having a good time.
He doesn't
get
to do an awful lot, but when he does, he's like, he's bad. Russell Hornsby is just... Like, he makes the kids recite the 10 points of the Black Panther Manifesto at one point, and it's just... He's not being a bad dad, you know, he who can't communicate. He can communicate well. He knows what the kids need to learn. He just needs to get them to learn it quickly, because in the world they're in is changing in a bad way.
Yeah.
It's not getting better in the way he would like for his kids. And it's powerful is the only word that keeps coming to mind with this movie. Like, I kept, like, not being able to take notes because the words that they were saying were just so amazing. That I'm sure I ripped from the book, but the actors saying them and the feelings that come from them Regina Hall is from Scary Movies.
That's
series.
Right.
She was
That's
always
right.
just screaming in those movies, and she kind of did a little less screaming in Girls Trip. She's fantastic in this.
It's really difficult to take notes when your tears are staining the sheets
and
of paper
happens a lot.
In front of you, yeah. right? I mean, the ink is just running all over the place because you're not crying at sad moments.
No.
You're crying at happy moments, at touching moments.
Celebration moments.
At highly inspirational moments.
Inspirational is key, I think. That's the thing. Because don't get the idea that this is just all sadness all the time. This movie is very funny.
Oh, and the way it's cut as well, because the way they transition between a funny moment, a moving moment, to downright danger.
Yeah.
You don't see it
because
coming.
Because that's, and it's not oppression porn either. Because like they shoot, the white world is all very white, it's sort of blue and cold, and their world, the home world, is the African American is home life is shot in warm colors, but it's like it's life. It's not like this is you're looking in, or this is not like Poor Me the movie. You know what I mean? This is something. This is a family, and this is the kind of things that happen to people every day, and this is things you should be aware of, and. It's educational, it's entertaining. There's a prom scene, which is one of the fun. This is one of the things was like, I was thinking, this needs to be like Modern Family, like where it's just, it's on TV all the time because I could watch these people just do this forever.
There are so few movies that manage to capture a national zeitgeist as well as this movie does. Mm. I mean, because it does all of the things you just said, but it's never preachy.
No.
It's empathetic. And it's nuanced, and you actually get all sides of the picture, and you understand why people are behaving the way they are.
And Star herself has to come to realizations in this movie. It's
yes.
not like she's instantly preachy.
No.
Like, she doesn't come to justice must be done instantly, which would feel that has been done in so many other movies that it usually would be Oscar bait. Whereas in this, it's an actual character development of like, what will I stand up for? What will I? Am I willing to risk?
And when?
And when?
Because exactly. At the end of the day, this is a movie about the political awakening of a particular teenager, right? Yeah. And it is also the story of how the idealism of youth often gets trumped or stomped away by the realities of everyday life. I mean, there's a scene with her uncle Carlos in the kitchen, and I won't give it away, but it is an amazing conversation. And the problem with that conversation is that you can relate to both sides, and you don't want to.
Yeah. The other thing, do you notice that, so Carlos is her uncle.
Played by Common,
and he's a cop.
Yes.
The difference between his house and their house?
Yes.
It's insane.
Like he lives in a really nice part of town, drives a really nice fancy car.
Like that was, you can, they don't even have to go into that, but it's just, the movie is so well thought out. That's part of the deal. You know, if he works within the system, you get the nice house and everything else. If you get outside the system, you can't get a job. You have to do drugs and then you pay the price later on in life.
I also have to say, this is a movie that really rewards you if you pay attention. I mean, in that sense, it kind of plays out very much like a novel. There isn't any exposition. There are lines that take place that are explained throughout the course of the film, that are shown to you throughout the course of the film and not told to you at any point.
Yeah. There's like what happened to her friend Natasha is just like alluded to, and then you, by the time you've forgotten about it, then you find out what happened and it's heartbreaking.
This entire movie is heartbreaking, man, but it is so, so good.
Yeah.
Give all of them Oscars.
All the awards.
Yeah, all of the awards. As you reach the end of this film, and you know, when you look at your watch or you look at your clock and you think, oh wait, we're coming on towards the end of this film, it begins to dawn on you that there are no easy solutions.
No.
There are absolutely no easy answers in this movie. There's a line that both her and her mom say, it is what it is, right? Only it isn't depressing. I mean, even in Get Out, you had a hopeful ending.
Well, in that version.
In that version, right?
I mean,
in the version we saw.
The realistic version
the
that
realistic
Jordan Peele
version.
Had in his mind, which was just depressing as hell.
Which Jordan Peele felt they had to do because it was such a traumatic experience that you wanted to give people some hope at the end.
Yeah.
What's interesting about this movie is they don't give you that false hope, and yet it's still hopeful at the end.
Yeah,
because
it's like,
when
it's
you
too
see
real
these people
for that.
Together, exactly, it's far too real for that. This was actually Angie Thomas, when she wrote this book, it was one of the first few novels to actually address the Black Lives Matter movement, right? And I think it was one of the earliest, I think one of two or three YA novels to do so.
Mm.
And
it's not even, it doesn't feel like young adult though.
No.
It feels like a family movie.
No, the novel kind of skews towards YA, but I think it's just in the way the story is told.
Yeah.
Because it is from the mind of Star. Otherwise, no, I think this film, as a Malaysian, I think it is a definite watch
as
well.
Yeah.
Because I think these questions of poverty, these questions of being trapped in situations, of resorting to the worst possible situation because you don't have any other options, applies to a lot of people in our society as mm-hmm. well. Yes, fewer people in our society carry guns and shoot people, but I think the general message still applies.
Yeah, some people have no options but to fall out of the societal net.
Exactly.
Also, it teaches you how stupid white people look when they're doing African-American slang. Oh my God, I almost cringed into a, I almost disappeared into a cringe. Some of the white characters in this are the worst.
They are the worst. They are the worst. You have to watch The Hate U Give. It is in cinemas on Thursday, mm-hmm. and we strongly recommend that you go and watch it. I mean, it's going to make a lot of noise come Oscar season, mm-hmm. and we're just so happy that it's actually screening in Malaysia. This is not the kind of movie that makes it over here this early.
Yeah.
We might get it usually next March after it's won like 7 awards.
Exactly.
But we're getting it early. We're getting it just after the United States, so that's a pretty big deal.
Part of the Fox Finest Five, right?
Part of the Fox Finest Five, where they bring in all these award-winning movies that usually don't make them any money.
Yeah. So reward yes. them. Go see this. It's
Go
worth
see
going
this.
To see.
It is absolutely brilliant. Let us know what you think when you've seen it. I'm on Twitter, at Uma Pagan.
I'm on, at McNasty Prime.
You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.